Father, I just come before you, Lord, and I just pray for your presence here in the meeting, God. And I just pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to minister to us through the word. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Wait. You have the microphone there. Tell everybody what happened this week, real quick.
Mike, come on.
No, we don't pick on Mike. Karen, you lead that.
She opened in prayer. You give the praise report.
Yeah. Hurry up, Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, on your house.
Oh, on our house, we bought a new house and we sold ours within 2 weeks. So, I mean, Karen prayed for a record time selling our house and buying one, and she got it. So,
amen.
And we hear you got a full price on your house.
Full price.
And the other one went down some, or you got
it? Yeah, they knocked off $5,700 on the other house. So.
Wow. That is great. So if you,
that's one of those things, if you didn't know better, you'd think it was God.
Yeah, but we know Mike and Karen, so it couldn't be God. It had to be, you know, some fortuitous alignment of the planets in the solar system, you know, that... All right, we've got 2 weeks after today left of our Biblical Worldview class. And today we're going to finish up with Contrasting Worldview Assumptions. So we've been going down a list, looking at, and we said assumptions are ideas that you cannot prove. They're just taken for granted. All right, and an example would be, is there or is there not a God? You cannot prove that assumption one way or the other. Okay, and there's everything else in life flows from that. But we looked and we had about 20 different things. We'll get into a few more here today. All right, let me see here. Make sure I get this thing turned on. All right. Okay. 1 Timothy 6:20 through 21. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from, from the faith. Okay, and so this whole class has been about the knowledge that the world is going to present to you as opposed to the knowledge that the Bible speaks of. And I mean, we can go right. The other night I was watching one of my favorite shows, those Ancient Aliens.
Amen.
They got a guy on there who's got crazier hair than JT, man. It's this Greek guy, man. It's just sticking all out. I love the guy. And you'll always hear him, Ancient Alien Theorists say, that this could have, should have, might have, possibly. And you get all this speculation.
But the way he says it sounds sort of ancient theorists say.
Yes.
Fact theorist means that they don't know what they're talking about to begin with. They're just guessing and making something up, but they say it.
Yeah. But one of the things they were talking about were dinosaurs. And so you will find a lot of these guys, like in the Discovery Channel, these guys are what we would call New Age. They believe in, you know, the UFOs and everything else, but they were presenting evidence that has actually been presented by Christians for years in the evolution creation debate. And in that debate, it was that dinosaurs lived contemporaneously with mankind. Well, according to modern scientists, that's impossible because dinosaurs lived, you know, hundreds of millions of years ago. And then they start finding engravings all over the world. Anyways, they're presenting all this evidence. Like I said, it really came from a Christian source, but now they're, you know, this is impossible. Aliens had to see dinosaurs, or they eliminated them, or whatever it was due. So we see that there's all these ideas, and every one of the world's idea of on a particular topic is contrary all the time to what the Scriptures teach. Sharon.
Some Christian physicists claim that they don't contradict one another, the dinosaurs, that we just misinterpret how were the Word of God and the time pattern between each sequence.
Yeah, you got to be very careful because there are so-called Christians. There's a guy on TV by the name of Hugh Ross. Anybody ever see him?
Yeah.
Hugh Ross... His theology is whacked out. But when you see him on TV, he believes that God used evolution, that there was a certain time when the humanoids were imparted with a spirit, and they were now separated from the lineage of apes or whatever. And he believes in millions of years. That's not what the Bible. The Bible definitely gives us a beginning. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. Thank you, Thomas.
Pastor, I'd like to quote a very famous person.
Okay.
Very learned man, P.T. Barnum.
There you go.
If you're going to tell a lie, tell one so big it can't be disproved. Ancient aliens, they had a show that said spaceships brought Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Prove them wrong.
Yeah, how can you prove them wrong? You know, P.T. Barnum also said this, Bob. There's a sucker born every minute and someone else born to take advantage of the sucker. And that was where he put himself. All right. We had our newspaper articles. Beth, did you bring your camera with you today? You did. Did we have our Pepsi cans?
Or,
oh, okay. Blame it on Anthony. You know, Anthony, the child you gave me, Lord. I mean, did you see Anthony's face light up? Anthony, you... Hey.
Just pushed you right under the bus,
I mean,
brother.
Yeah, threw you under the tank. Yeah, okay. Well, we will definitely look into that further. Thank you for enlightening us.
Yeah. And that's a good point he just made. We can't run with everything we hear. Pastor Don is the best of this I ever seen. Research it, check it. That's what the Bereans did. We're supposed to do that not just with the Word of God. Anything that somebody tells us, we're supposed to check it out. Don't just believe them. There's nothing wrong with checking it out. If it's the truth, nobody's going to mind. If I tell you the truth and you go check it out, that's fine. I'm proud of you for doing it.
Right. We're not afraid of the truth. You know, Bob had given me a little write-off. Anybody hear of the book, The Harbinger? It's a popular book now in Christian circles. You know, another one of these books. It's kind of a fiction book forecasting the end of the world. And I had somebody give that to me. We looked it up, and this guy's all over the map, in his theology. And once again, you have to be careful what you listen to, and especially when it comes to ideas from the world. That's why kids are in the university setting. You know, they are being brainwashed, and they're being brainwashed with a contrary doctrine, a contrary gospel, if you will. They're not teaching them that, you know, once again, the example, that this, you know, God created mankind as a supernatural act. I was talking to a young girl yesterday over at Sabina's, and I had seen her in there for a while. And she had graduated from the University of Detroit, and she had a degree in, guess what, psychology. Oh, I had fun with her. But this girl sat down, and she said, I never heard that. Because she herself was a Catholic, went to Catholic high school, went to Divine Child, and then went to UAD. So I said, well, what do they teach you? Evolution. And so she wants to go into counseling. And I said, well, how are you going to counsel someone? Your religious faith says you're created in the image of God. There's certain things that are right and wrong. There's a standard that we uphold. As opposed to what modern psychology tells you, do you believe you have a soul? No. How are you going to counsel certain people? You're going to counsel them away from sin? So, there, you know, these questions just aren't, we throw them out there. There's definitely things. Here we have Calvin Hobbes. You ever... I love Calvin and Hobbes. Okay? Miss Wormwood, I have a question about this math lesson. Yes? Given that sooner or later we're all just going to die, what's the point of learning about integers? Turn to page 83, class. She just ignores Calvin. Nobody likes the big picture people. And that's what we are. We have to see the totality of everything that we believe. Because everything goes together. You know, that's why they call the university the university. It's, universe means one, uni, one. Now there's a move in the university to call it the multiversity. There's even theories now of creation that, you know, there's millions and millions and millions of different universes in different realms, and we just happen to be in one that everything fits together. These ideas are taken seriously, and they're promoted. So like Calvin there, we have to be the big picture people that our faith affects every area of life, whether it's biology, whether it's psychology, sociology, whether it's religion, theology, whatever it might be, it affects it. And hopefully you're seeing that. Okay. Did we see this video last week? I thought we did, that where the two ministers say homosexuality is okay.
Yes.
We would on the Oprah show. Okay. We're gonna see. We didn't see it? Okay. Bob, you know, Bob, see, I should have looked it up on the internet. Bob. All right, well, we're going to see it. We're just going to watch about 2 minutes of it. Go ahead, you're going to have to...
Would you hit the light?
Once he gets going here, go ahead, hit this.
Hi. You'll want to practice this right now. Hand, unless you're left-handed, take your hand and size up and line up your palm with your forehead, and then just give it a good whack. Just follow after. Here we go. You ready? You want to do that right now, because you'll be needing that in about 30 seconds. It's time for Ratchet.
There is no freedom without the law.
It is imperative that you use God's principle.
I actually go ghost hunting a lot.
Yeah, have you found any?
Yes.
Really?
Satisfy yourself by saying, it doesn't matter. All rules lead there anyway.
Hello and welcome to Wretched. My name is Todd Friel. I am your host, the Wretch the song refers to. Somebody's got to change their name around here, because this will not do. At what point, when you so change a society, an organization, or a group, do you ultimately have to change their name because it no longer stands for what it used to stand for? Case in point, on the Oprah program, the most dangerous woman in America, she had two pastors, Millie and... No, that's not right. It's Ed... Hold on a second. It's... here we go. Ed Bacon and Michael Beckwith. They call themselves pastors. They appeared on her little panel of spirituality to talk about the issue of homosexuality. Get ready. Right here. Just get ready. Right now.
Being gay is a gift from God. But our culture doesn't understand that. And consequently, the culture sends messages that you ought to isolate. And isolation is the antithesis of what all of us need.
No, just stop! Stop! I was just going to let this go. Here's the thinking behind this. Okay, this is the thinking. You see, there's a group of people that are... let's just pick a crime. Let's pick a bad activity. Rapists. And, we as a society, we don't think rape is good. And it turns out they end up getting shunned. Well, it's bad to be shunned. Therefore, we're supposed to just let them be a part of the gang. That's the thinking going on. It's just lame. I'm not saying that we put homosexuals in some sort of camp and lock the door. That's not the point. It's this guy's logic or lack thereof. The thinking... not only would it fail a philosophy course, not only would it be thrown out of prison, the Bible would squash it.
We simply can't do spirituality. We can't be our best self. We can't be fully alive without a community.
Well, you're the first minister I ever heard say being gay is a gift from God.
The fine minister.
Oprah has it right.
You were the first two ministers I ever heard say being gay is a gift from God.
Listen to this guy.
Of course it is. Absolutely.
Of course
it is.
First of all, we're not
girl.
Talking religion here. We're talking spirituality. And Cedric didn't just happen to be gay.
Right.
You know, people don't just happen to be gay.
You can hit
that.
When
people are born,
you get the picture.
They have that type of...
So you see here, are they promoting a gospel? And what I say that you cannot, get away from it. No matter what TV show you watch, radio program, cartoon, there's always a religious message. Always. That's being pushed. Okay? So there's no neutrality. So we see here that these two guys got on there and, you know, we're just ignorant and we have no idea what we're talking about. And, you know, we don't want to isolate anybody. Did Jesus ever isolate anybody? How many? Yeah, I was reading the other night, John the Baptist come on the scene. He started calling a bunch of snakes and I'm like, God, this guy, he knows how to start a ministry, you know? And we read Jesus right before his crucifixion tearing into the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so, you know, but most Christians, unfortunately, don't know the scriptures. We don't know there's a balance. And obviously, these guys have no balance there. Bob?
It says, so have nothing to do with them. Is that isolation? Yes.
Yeah.
Put them outside the camp. Certain. Is that isolation? Yes. Yes, the Bible does say to isolate certain sin.
Exactly right. And, you know, we could go into the man in the New Testament. We've used this example before. The Apostle Paul found out he was having sexual relationship with his stepmother. And Paul was appalled. And he wrote to the church. And he says, throw him out. Kick him out. Well, the guy repented and they received him back in. But they were to administer discipline within the church. That didn't mean they're, you know, constantly hunting people down, but there's a standard that the church was to uphold. Okay? So when we contrast those assumptions in regards to faith, you know, the world, the faith of the world's philosophy is built upon reason, acting independent of any divine revelation. So you young people that go into the college setting, you're going to hear them constantly badmouth, well, you Christians, you know, you rely upon revelation. You believe that there was this supernatural God and he revealed to you this, 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 and this. We don't believe that anymore because we're men of science. And everything's got to be proved. And everything's got to be logical, right? So they reject faith and will accuse, you know, the biblical faith is built upon revelation from God to which humans, human reason submits. So us as Christians, we say we begin our reasoning from the Scripture. The reason we believe that marriage is between one man and one woman is because this is the way the Bible has revealed it, right? When the world says, no, we're going to redefine it and make it two men, two women, three women, one man, five men, one woman. I mean, where's it in? Okay? So we see that we start from the Bible and they start really from a position of faith also. Okay? And we don't have time to get it, but every time that they present something, that if you backtrack far enough, you'll find out they take something. There's an assumption that they take by faith just as much as we do. There was a young girl. Where's Rachel? She's back there. Was she your cousin, Chelsea?
Hold up.
Third cousin?
Rachel.
Raquel. Give Raquel the... Tell us a little bit what happened at your graduation there.
Well, we had been praying beforehand that a lot of our family members that weren't saved would even be witnessed to at my graduation already a few weeks ago, because we only see them a couple times a year, so every opportunity is a good one. So Pastor Don was about to leave, and I looked over, and he was talking to my third cousin, who's a very outspoken atheist, and I just kind of chuckled to myself because I knew that he was going to pick her out of everyone there. But she's... Yeah, exactly, yeah. Just a coincidence. She's going to school for biology. And so, of course, Pastor Don had to ask her, you know, where does life come from and all those kind of questions. And she didn't know. She didn't have an answer, really. And he talked with her for a while, and then we got home later, and my sister went on Facebook, and she said, "Did you see Chelsea's Facebook status?" I said, "No." And she read it, and it was this whole long post about how she can't respect people that shove their beliefs down her throat and don't respect her views, and it was this whole long thing. And it just kind of made me think that it bothered her enough to go and put it on Facebook, so obviously something was sown there. So,
yeah, I had that effect on people. I mean, you know, my wife is always putting posts on, you know, up there. But, yeah, I was a young girl. I just happened to go in there. She was sitting where Ken is sitting over on the pew there, and I just started talking to her as I'm fumbling with my keys. Told me she was studying biology, so I started asking some very basic questions. If you're studying biology, you ought to be able at least to answer where does life come from, right? She goes, "I don't know." You know, I says, "Well, do you believe it evolved?" "Yeah, I believe it evolved." You know, and so you could see she was irritated, but that just kind of encouraged me even more to talk to her. And, you know, you try to point out, but when you point out how ridiculous and what they believe to be true, I said, "So you believe that everything came from nothing, is that right?" "Yes." I said, "Have you ever seen that?" I said, you ever see a magician pull a rabbit out of a hat?" "Yeah." "Well, is there a real, you know, does that materialize out of thin air?" "No, it's a trick." I said, "Well, have you ever seen anything materialize out of..." "Well, no, but it happened." So you see, they're not going to give up their assumptions. They operate by faith just as much as we do. We put our total confidence and faith in the Word of God. They put it in the Word of Darwin or Freud or somebody else who is the expert. Go ahead. Give the Sarge here.
No, go ahead. I'll be right there, Sarge.
Just keep praying for everyone that you know that has a certain type of opinion, because God can reveal himself to anyone and change their opinion. Bob used to be a self-proclaimed atheist.
And big dummy.
So I give amazing up, how smart
I give,
you got
I give
in
up
life,
one
Bob.
Of the two.
Yeah.
Don't you kind of thing you have to be careful with is like say, okay, the gay thing, okay, segregate them, you know, shun them. You know, to me, that's like that's your thing and pointing like we did that to the Indians, we did that to the blacks, we did that to the Japanese during World War II. Nazism did it to the Jews. And as I say, everybody picks like now the gays, that's the one everybody's focused on to, you know, there's a lot of different groups, atheists, the Christians don't believe in them. But then should we isolate them? If you know somebody who's gay, I can't talk to you.
No. That's, yeah. What Bob's saying is somebody who professes to be a Christian, and it's not just that, it's any sin. So you have somebody that's constantly spreading gossip, somebody who's a thief, somebody's a liar. Hey, there's a procedure in the scripture, going at brothers, sitting down with them, taking two or three, you know, if they listen, you know, it's in Matthew 18. This is after repeated attempts to bring them to right thinking or right action. And if they refuse, then you have to, you know, shun them. And you're very rarely going to find churches that do that.
No.
Because, you know, we're supposed to love everybody, which is not in the scriptures, but that's what we're led to believe.
Yeah, I didn't. Okay. We're to judge. He says to judge. But why would you judge a sinner? We already know what he is. We're not judging them. These are offenses within the church.
Right.
That were talked about being put outside the camp, being put outside of the body so it doesn't infect it, right? One sin is no greater than others to a point. For a sinner is a sinner, right? We need to get them saved and then set straight.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a whole progression that you go through as far as discipline. You know, hey, we're not saying, hey, nobody allowed. But when they come in, they make a profession of Christ, there needs to be a change. And that's what the whole thing is. Their thinking has to change. Our thinking has to change to line up with scriptures. And so, I run into ministers all the time. Tom, will you quit knocking that out of there? Tom's like, you just know Tom's like, Okay, Sammy.
Yesterday, one of my buddies at work, he's a Muslim. And so it was my last day on night shift. And so me and him were talking a little bit. And our supervisor's gay. And he's like, oh, I can't stand our supervisor, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why? Because he doesn't like you? You know, like, he just doesn't like him, period.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. And he's like, no, because he's gay. And I'm like, what? You know, just because someone's gay doesn't mean you have to dislike that person. I was like, I think Eric's a great supervisor, but I disagree with his lifestyle.
Right.
But I disagree with someone, you know, living in adultery at the same time.
That's
a man
right.
and a woman living together. I was like, there's no difference to me.
Yeah.
I was like, they're both in sin. And he's like, no, that's not that big of a deal. And this is a Muslim. Come on, man. You can't pick and choose what's wrong. You know, like we see so many people here getting drunk, blown out of their mind every single day. But yet I'm still called to give the light of Christ and the love of Christ.
Yep.
Not supporting that lifestyle, but still, you know, showing them that there's something different.
Yeah. That just happens to be the one area, like I said, and that's a popular area people will point out, but it could be any sin.
That's the only one that seems it's a sin that they identify with. They're proud to come out and say, I'm gay. How many people do you know? Hi, I'm Bob. I'm a pervert.
Yeah.
That's why it gets so much attention and stuff. If they say it enough, it gets embedded that it's okay. That's the whole idea behind it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Karen.
Pastor John made a good point at the Thursday Bible study about judging one time, and he said that we're not judging. The Word of God already judged them. You know, we're just kind of like enforcing the law,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, you know, you cannot help but make judgments. You know, so when you're quoted that verse, you know, you Christians, you should not judge. Well, first of all, you're judging me for judging. So you're guilty of doing the same thing that you're accusing me of. And the second thing is that entire verse speaks about judging, that you are to judge.
Yes.
And there were conditions, taking the log out of your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly. So we see that you can't get around it, and there's a right way to see things, there's a wrong way to see things.
And we always judge by the Word of God.
That's our
baseline. Does it line up with the Word of God?
Right.
Period.
That's it.
It's easy.
That's it. And we see more and more. All society moving away from what the Word of God has to say. Okay, we have here on religion, world's assumption, religion is a personal choice, a private matter. There are many gods to worship or acknowledge and different creeds to choose from. In other words, you can believe what you want to believe. Is that our idea is from the Bible? Our job is to what? Disciple people, to convert people from the wrong way of thinking, like our scripture that we started with, what is falsely called what? Knowledge. And bring them into the light. You know, that's what the word repent really means. You know, we have a tendency to think, you know, change what you're doing or quit what you're doing, and there's a truth to that, but it actually means change your mind. See things from God's perspective. Okay? So God and His Word are not dependent upon any human acceptance or rejection. His reality and man's accountability to this reality stand regardless of human. In other words, His Word stands. It doesn't matter if the majority says it's no good, we still adhere to it. It's not put up to a vote. That is our starting point.
What is the first two commandments? That goes directly against those.
Right.
We're not free to choose our religion, to choose our God. If you have no other God other than me.
Yeah, if you could believe any religion you want, why'd Christ come and die on the cross? Why'd He put Himself through that if you could just get there some other way? Okay? Here we have another cartoon. You see a couple guys climbing, puff, puff, grunt, puff. You see the word Bible. Climb over that. Let's go down the other side. Well, we finally made it over that barrier. Yeah, thank heavens for the idea of separation of church and state, and they got like human rights, and then they come up against science, the study of DNA. So the barrier that we see society wants to get over is what? The scriptures. We don't want that telling us what to do. That's a barrier. We need to put that behind us and move on. But even when they move on, they're confronted. Even in the study of science, when they begin to look at the human body, they're confronted with the glory of God. Paul says in Romans that all creation reflects the glory of God. So as a scientist, you start looking at the human body. Wow, what an amazing piece of machinery. You go down to the basic one cell. You blow that cell up the size of Chicago or New York. There's more activity inside that cell than there is in the entire city of New York or Chicago. These little molecular machines, it's incredible what is going on in one simple cell. For all that to come about to a process of accidents is impossible. It's absurd. But yet that's what we teach. Okay? And so we see that not only the scriptures, but eventually, and then where do human rights come from? They're either going to come from the scriptures that are God-given, as we have in our Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. If we don't get our rights from God, where do we get them from? Well, humanism says society dictates what they are. Man determines what the rights are. Go ahead,
I just Jenny. Wondered if anybody saw that Billy Graham special last night. Nobody?
Was that the one on Fox?
It was on 7:30 on... Yeah, he came on, and he preached from his home.
Yeah,
and they went back and replayed his life and different things, and he came right out with it. He says it's the truth. There's one way, Jesus.
Yeah,
it was really good.
World does not want to hear that because you know when you say that, you're basically saying other people are wrong. And I had a guy one time
that's
says, "What
not
makes
all inclusive, Pastor?"
That's exactly right. You know, I got people a lot of times say, "Well, you know, that's pretty bigoted." I go, "Yeah, it might be bigoted, but it's correct according to Scripture." All right, how about morality? Where do we get our moral code at? Moral conduct is relative to public opinion and/or individual conscience. In other words, society dictates what you believe. Have we seen that in our own society? We look at marriage. Has that been redefined? Are proper relationships redefined? Anybody watch this new TV show, Modern Family? Yeah, I haven't watched it, but from what I understand, I mean, it's just a mishmash. Are you okay, JT? Huh?
It was a marathon yesterday, and I watched like 6.5 hours.
Give them the microphone there. We want a report here real quick. All right. What is the family home life like? Tell me what it's comprised of.
Then we'll pray over you.
Yes.
You want me to explain what the show's about?
Yes.
Okay. L. Bundy is one of the main characters. He's the dad. He has a daughter that is married to this guy. Is just ridiculous. I mean, there's no.
Keep it to your mouth.
I'm trying to explain the show.
He's trying to explain proper usage of the microphone, okay? Obviously, you adhere to your own set of rules.
We hear what you want to say. We might catch it on tape.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. Worldwide.
I just don't know how to explain the show without...
Is it a normal family,
absolutely
mother?
Absolutely not. There's a gay son, and he's married, obviously, to a gay guy. They adopt kids, and they, like, fly, go across the world to adopt them. Then the daughter is just married to a ridiculous dude. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. I don't know. There's nothing normal about the entire show.
Okay, so what you have is you have this show. Hey, yeah, somebody get a cattle prod every time he just hit him. All right, so we see that even in the TV programs, there's a morality that's being promoted. All right? We see the biblical moral conduct is relative only to God's Word. God's Word tells us what is proper, what isn't, right? So we have to go to His Word when we're dealing with any of these questions because the answer or the foundation will be there. All right, Calvin and Hobbes again. I like this one. Once again, thinking about what's moral, what's the moral right thing to do. So here we have him, and he says he's talking to Alea there. She have a little tiger outfit. She's a little leopard running around here today. It says, today at school I tried to decide whether to cheat on my test or not. We've never done that, have we? Yeah. And he's explaining to the tiger, I wondered if it is better to do the right thing and fail, or is it better to do the wrong thing and succeed? See, these comics are great because they really do bring out the dilemmas that we face and the choices we have to make. So he's talking here. He says, on the one hand, understanding success or undeserved success gives no satisfaction. But on the other hand, well-deserved failure gives no satisfaction either. So if I cheat, there's no satisfaction. But if I fail, no satisfaction. Of course, most everybody cheats sometime or other. People always bend the rules if they think they can get away with it. And then again, that doesn't justify my cheating. Is this a religious discussion he's having? This is a comic. People laugh. They go, Pastor, you got to be... I said, every area of life involves a religious foundation or a religious view. Then I thought, look, cheating on one little test isn't such a big deal. It doesn't hurt anyone. But then I wondered, if I was just rationalizing my unwillingness to accept the consequence of not studying. Look at the tiger, he's kind of, okay, this is getting deep. Still, in the real world, people care about success, not principles. Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Then again, maybe that's why the world is in such a mess. What a dilemma. So, what did you decide, as Tiger says? Nothing. I ran out of time and I had to turn in a blank paper. And then walking away, he says, anymore, simply acknowledging the issue is a moral victory. And then he says, well, it's just seemed wrong to cheat on an ethics test. Okay, but I mean, this draws it up. You know, we have to wrestle with these choices of morality all the time. And if we don't have a standard that gives us guidance, being God's Word, then we're just adrift in a sea of moral relativism. Whose morality is going to win the day? Okay? All right. Lordship. Who's Lord? To show Himself the rightful Lord. So the world says that man is the highest authority. In our country today, the Supreme Court or our Congress. But that's not true biblically. The highest authority is who? God Himself. Okay? So we're to show ourselves. God, you know, we read through all the Scripture. God created the world. The whole world is His. He raises up kings. He sets them down. He sets our destinies in His hands. He's the rightful Lord. There's a higher authority. There's a higher law than man-made law. You know, the apostles appealed to the man to God's law when they were forbidden to speak about Jesus Christ anymore. Do you remember that? They told him, he said, quit preaching in the name of Jesus. And the apostles said, you judge for yourself whether it's right in your eyes or not. But as for us, we have to obey God. And that's always the basic line. We have to obey God rather than man. All right, freedom. Human freedom is self-determined. In other words, where do our freedoms come from? Are they determined by man or are they determined by God? If they're determined by man, then guess what? They can be changed by man. You go into a Muslim culture, if you're a Muslim, you have freedom. But if you're not a Muslim, what kind of freedoms do you have? What kind of rights do you have? You see, it differs from culture to culture. Can't escape it. Human freedom is God-determined. He tells us what freedom is. And freedom isn't, the world has defined it to be able to do whatever the heck you want. That's not freedom. Freedom within the biblical standard is to be able to do what you want within God's prescribed boundaries. Okay? Wisdom. Wisdom is found within. Wisdom is found from without. We look to God's Word. We have no wisdom until our thinking lines up with God's Word. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. So if you don't start with God as your presupposition or your assumption, you're already off track to begin with. Okay? Philosophy, know thyself. If you read Socrates or Plato, Aristotle, those kind of guys, the whole thing is about finding out who you are. What is man? We've said this before. Is man just a long evolutionary process from the slime onward up? Or were we created in the image of God? And so we need to know God if we're going to have any proper view of life. What is reality all about? You know, is it just the physical world? Is it a spiritual world? You have to know God. All right? Learning. The world learns in order to comprehend. Christians should learn in order to revere. In other words, our studying is so we can know the creation and know the Creator behind the creation, how His creation operates. Calvin Hobbes again. I'm at peace with the world. I'm completely serene. Why is that? I discovered my purpose in life. Is that what we've been talking about for the entire year?
Yes.
Yeah, here it is. Calvin understands. I know why I was put here and why everything exists. Oh, really? Yes, I'm here so everybody can do what I want. It's nice to have that cleared up. Once everyone accepts it, they'll be serene too. Okay, so that the way the world thinks, yeah, you know, if there's no God, what's your purpose? You know, get out of life whatever you can. All right, ultimate questions, why must I do it? Christian asks, what must I do? Here's a guy climbing up the mountain. You know, the secret of life is having a backup plan to your exit strategy. He sees his buddy, the goat, just chewed the rope there and he's fallen. So our exit strategy is what? We are in Christ. There is a life. We can stand before God, not because of our righteousness, but because of what Christ did on the cross. Education, let me just get through here real quick. Labor. Everything in life, labor. Manual labor is viewed by many as vulgar and beneath a citizen's dignity. Trades are honored and manual labor is respected. And so we see in our society today a moving away from work being a vocation, work being an act of worship. Okay? Work is kind of, you know, the more we can get out of work, the better
we're
we feel.
We're moving away from work, period.
Yes. Yeah. So work.
The state will take care of us.
We see that in the scripture that work was very important. God said, 6 days you'll work, on the seventh day you'll rest. So work had high dignity. It didn't. Paul himself was a what? A tent maker. All right? So we see that everyone had to have a skill, they had to have a vocation. But in that vocation, they were to minister the kingdom of God. Just like Sammy at work there. He's looking for people to share, you know, what he's doing. He's working an auto plant, but yet he's looking for the opportunity to share his faith with those he works in. Yep. It says, no, the Constitution doesn't give your client the right to enforce his own economic theory, and it's called extortion, not demand and supply. So he's got the guy, say, the mobster sitting there. Okay, so economics, aging, you know, old age is feared by the world, biblical old age is to be honored. Okay, what a difference, isn't it? You know, we're so caught up with the Hollywood set. Who do they bring out before Congress all the time when they got to answer? They bring the young, beautiful, handsome guys, put them before there. They don't bring the old, you know, the old guys or the old women and put them there that have a lifetime of experience in asking them what they think. Because there's an image being presented. And we don't honor old age. We reject it. We toss them in the nursing home. We leave them there. I've told you stories about seeing my uncle in the nursing home. It's, you know, they're lined up in the hallway like planes on a tarmac, just sitting there, drugged up. Nobody hardly coming in to see them. That's what we do with the elderly in our society. And it won't be very long before we begin to euthanize them. Okay? History. History is viewed as a cycle of aimless repetition. History has no meaning if there's no God. It's whatever you make it. Biblical history is viewed as going somewhere. So if God is in control, He's got a plan that's being worked out in each one of our lives. Each nation has a plan. The world has a plan. There's a plan for everything. Conclusion, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we want to be free from the world's type of thinking. That's why it's imperative that we study the Scripture, that we know what it has to say, that we know what those assumptions are. Now, over the course of the next 2 weeks, next week I'm going to bring in a test. You're not going to be graded on, but we'll have you fill it out to see where you stand in a lot of different areas. Then we'll discuss them the final week as to why these line up with Scripture and other ones don't. But it's important that we understand in all these different areas that Jesus' Word is the foundation for everything we believe. All right? So let us close in prayer. I know we ran a little bit late there, but I want to get through that. So the next 2 weeks, we'll finish up with the Biblical Worldview class. If you ever have any questions, please grab me or Bob after the service, and we're more than happy to talk about them. But it's a fascinating area because we're constantly told, keep your Christianity in the four walls. But we're to come into the area of economics, into medicine, into history, into philosophy, into counseling, all those areas, and bring our assumptions with us because we have the true view of life. And everybody else, I don't hate to say it, but they're wrong. So, Bob, would you close us in prayer?
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word that leaves no doubt, Father God, that, Lord, Jesus is that stone, but it's the word, Father God, knowing him, Father God, getting closer to you, Father God. Lord, we just pray that we have the freedom to still do this, Father God. And, Lord, right now I pray for services we walk down, Father God. You have your way. Pour your spirit out here today. I pray that nobody leave here without getting closer to you and getting a touch from you this morning, Father God. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen.